on My Fix It Up Life.
What?
It's game day at Rebuilding Together's 18th kickoff to rebuild at Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans.
We're tackling a 10-home project with NFL pros, community leaders, ready-to-play squad of top volunteers, corporate partners, and Rebuilding Together's special team.
Lowe's gives us the lowdown on building up this high-flying event.
And it's trophy time for Rebuilding Together's Man of the Match, the Tradesperson of the Year.
HGTV's Carter Oosterhaus is in the house kicking it Carter's Kid style with Get Out and Play Playground Build.
And we top it off with a taste of the Tool Belt and Tailgate's Super Bowl-sized cook-off.
Hey, we won the coin toss!
And we elect to kick off.
Hey, on My Fix It Up Life.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked through the door tonight. This is my Fix It Up Life.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life. And we are here pre-Super Bowl in New Orleans, Louisiana, in the McLennanville, Algiers neighborhood, with Rebuilding Together's 18th kickoff to rebuild.
Wow, I am so impressed that you remembered all of that.
I'll be sleeping for the rest of the concert.
That was really impressive, honey.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And what I find impressive, and what I continue to find impressive as we explore more about what Rebuilding Together does all across, and I'm going to say it, this great land of ours.
Yes, it is a great land.
This great land of ours is the absolute kinetic energy that happens here on these builds and the actual real difference Rebuilding Together makes in real neighborhoods for real people.
It is amazing, and it inspires us every time we come out to a Rebuilding Together project to see all the volunteers and the energy. And, you know, coming here this morning and everyone was doing all their, like, calisthenics to get, you know, ready with the cheerleaders and everything.
There were other people. I saw
and the energy,
New Orleans Saints cheerleaders.
And the energy of everyone going to all the houses and, you know, everyone, they're painting, they're doing all kinds of stuff in this neighborhood. And, you know, I was just talking to one of the gentlemen that lives in this neighborhood and, you know, what a difference it makes to the whole community for them to be here. Even if they're not working on their house, it's amazing, you know, all of the energy and the spirit, the playground, and everyone coming out and having a good time.
Well, I think our guest, John Svarka, who is the executive director of Rebuilding Together New Orleans.
And yesterday we were out here working on one of the houses. You've been here for a couple of years working on this project, and not just a day, you know, kickoff to rebuild for us. It's, you know, a long time in the making.
That's right. So we just started in this neighborhood 2 years ago, and so we've had a couple houses here and there. And planning for this process started a year ago. We sat down with RT National. We sat down with the neighborhood, McLennanville, the leader, Leslie Ellison, said, all right, we want to do this park. We want to do some houses as well. So this has been a year in the planning, and it's been 6 months in the construction phase as well. So it's been a while working on kickoff to rebuild.
So how does it feel today coming here, and this is the big celebration, and so many people are here volunteering today, and so many people have volunteered over the last year, but, you know, just seeing all this energy.
It's amazing. I mean, you plan these events, and you're just like, I hope some people show up. And then 250 people show up to help out a West Bank neighborhood. You can't beat it. A lot of attention and a lot of resources have been poured over to the East Bank of New Orleans, and we're across the river here. And I'm just thrilled that there's these resources, and all these volunteers are out here for these homeowners that they're able to say, you know what, we want to build your community, and we want to start at home. And we want to start with you, 10 homeowners. But this is bigger than 10 homeowners. It's bigger than a playground. It's a whole community coming back and coming back stronger.
Well, and you mentioned planning earlier, and you mentioned it several times. It's not just the construction, and it's not just even the planning for construction, it sounds like. It sounds like you need to forge relationships with the actual neighborhood itself before you even think about, you know, does Jane Smith need a bathroom?
Right. So in New Orleans, we only move into neighborhoods that we're asked into by the neighborhood leaders. We don't want to come in and go, this is how you need to rebuild your neighborhood. I think that's just a bad way of going as a nonprofit saying, you know, this worked in so-and-so, it's going to work in New Orleans. People found that out after the storm that didn't work that way. But here at Rebuilding Together, our board is made up of neighborhood leaders. So we're asked into the neighborhood, and we work hand-in-hand with the neighborhood association.
How do you even begin to start picking And obviously, we all know the kinds of effects that Katrina had down here. How do you even go about getting a toehold in a neighborhood, and why?
So we prioritize by veterans, elderly, disabled, by single head of households with minor children. So it's important to us to kind of focus our efforts on those who need it the most. And, you know, the people I named, those the veterans, they gave back to our country. Elderly and disabled, they're on a fixed income. They don't have money. It's either I got to pay for food or home repairs. So for us to be able to say, you know what, we're going to take care of the home repairs for them, that's just priceless.
That is priceless.
This is at no cost to the homeowner, and it's thanks to our great sponsors, Lowe's, Kmart, CBRE, that have come down not only giving money but also giving volunteers as well. That's the only reason why we're able to accomplish this.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Now, I have to ask, you are such a positive, inspiring person to talk to.
Like me.
And I was reading a little bit about your band, The Necessary Gentlemen.
Yes.
And it says that you sing about topics of heartbreak and loneliness in your band.
It's true.
So is that where you put all of that energy?
That's where I got to be positive at work. So
okay.
I write a bunch of those songs because it's bluegrass. If it's bluegrass, country music, it's got to be a little sad. So that's why I keep all of that stuff for performing with my band, The Necessary Gentlemen.
Okay.
No, back to Rebuilding Together and what's happening here in the Algiers-McClendonville neighborhood in New Orleans. Again, Katrina, has it affected the way Rebuilding Together actually operates in New Orleans versus maybe the way it operates in other cities, or has it changed the track of how Rebuilding Together works here?
So before the storm, we were similar to a lot of affiliates. We did small repairs, exterior paint jobs, wheelchair ramps, just minor things. But the storm happened, and we said, okay, this isn't going to cut it any longer. 80% of our city is completely destroyed. So we're going to have to step up and build our organization. And we had a great leader at the time, Councilman Palmer. She's now a city council member. And she just made sure that we built our capacity, that we were able to not only do these small repairs, but build these houses from gutted all the way to completion. So it's not just a small repair with volunteers. We're taking it from studs, drywall, all the way to completion. So it's a little different from other Rebuilding Together affiliates in the scope. We're doing everything, hiring subcontractors, and taking care of the whole construction process for these homeowners. It's going to be 8 years after the storm. There's still a lot of needs for full rehabs. We've done about 375 projects since Katrina, and I would say most of those are full rehabs because most of the homes were flooded, and so we had to rip all that drywall out and start anew. But as we get further away from the storm, we're going to go back to our older model because there's just not going to be the funding to do, you know, $100,000 rehabs that we were doing in previous years.
That is just so amazing. 375 projects. That's just thinking about that as a professional contractor and the amount of projects that you do each year.
Yeah.
And it always just floors me that, you know, Rebuilding Together is actually, it's, you guys are like general contractors. You're like, you know, you're not just a nonprofit.
Right. Now, we are actually general contractors here in New Orleans. We have a director of field operations is licensed in the state of Louisiana. And that helps us out because we can save so much money by having someone on staff do all of that. So for us, that's really exciting that we're able to do that. And, you know, we're a program of the Preservation Resource Center, which has done – they have a program called Operation Comeback, and they've done close to 100 homes as well. So put that together, you know, Rebuilding Together and the Preservation Resource Center as a whole, that's 500 homes in the past 7 years. So it's an amazing feat that we've been able to accomplish.
That is amazing. And all the skilled trades that are here that are helping and all of the non-skilled people that come out to help as well, there's so many opportunities to get involved and to be a part of it too.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. Even 7 years after the storm to see the people still come down. I mean, we've had people who have come since October of 2005 and have come down every year since. So it's just amazing.
Really?
Yeah. It's a group called the Order of Malta. They continue to come down, and a Rebuilding Together affiliate for Montgomery County. They've come down every year to help out for the last 7 years, and they're skilled, so we love them. We just say, okay, here's the house, take it from here. You guys do the carpentry work, you guys do the sheetrock. They've done everything for us and save us thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Wow, every year.
From unskilled to skilled. If you don't have any skills, you're going to learn a lot of skills with Revealing Together, even painting. You're going to learn carpentry skills, but you don't need to come with that knowledge. And that's the great thing. The volunteer experience with Rebuilding Together, it's just not about getting something done. It's learning new skills and giving back to the community and meeting the homeowners and going, all right, this isn't just a statistic. This is a homeowner. This is Miss So-and-so. This is Mrs. Bridgewater. I got to give back, and I love this personal note of it. So I think that's the Rebuilding Together experience, and that's what we have to offer.
So for you personally as Executive Director of Rebuilding Together New Orleans, how much of your job, and I'm not looking for like a real number here, but how much of it tends to become, you become a counselor and a friend in addition to a contractor, neighborhood liaison, you're working with government agencies, you know, you're wearing a lot, you're only wearing one hat now, but figurative hats you're wearing a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, since I've become director, you kind of get out of the trenches a little bit, but our staff, we have an amazing staff, and each one of them have worked with homeowners, and you do become a counselor because at the end of the day, the homeowners that we work with, they can't go, oh, my house was damaged, isn't that, you know, woe is me, and they can't go to their neighbor and say that because their neighbor went through the same thing. But for them to talk to us and our staff, we are counselors, and they just want to vent, they just want to have someone listen, and even at kickoff to rebuild, you know, these homeowners, they haven't, no one's come over here. There hasn't been any volunteers over here in 7 years, if probably longer. And so for them to pick up the phone and say, oh, you're going to rebuild my house at no cost, it's just like unbelievable for them. And it's a huge reward for our staff to be able to give that back to the community and these homeowners.
Wow.
Well, John Skavarka, Executive Director of Rebuilding Together New Orleans. Follow them on Twitter at @RT_New Orleans. Check them out at Facebook at Rebuilding Together New Orleans. And check us out after this break. We'll be back with more from the Super Bowl, my Fix It Up Live.
See that train coming, rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when. Oh, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Time keeps dragging on, but that train it keeps on rolling way down to San Antonio.
It's time to bring beauty back in your next project by Seeing Red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar is a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar's a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org.
And I let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
And you are back in my Fix It Up Life, and here we are with Rebuilding Together New Orleans, the Algiers McClendonville neighborhood. We've got a playground being built on one side. We've got 10 houses being renovated on the other. And right
hundreds of volunteers everywhere.
Hundreds of volunteers everywhere. Live music by Tim Williams, timwilliams.com. Follow Tim Williams on Twitter.
And we have all of this cooking going on around us, too.
I am ready to chew my own arm off. I mean, this is fantastic. Hey, can you hear us? What are you making over there?
Barbecue ribs. Nice.
I'll take 30. Thank you.
It's exciting being here. There's so much energy going on. And, you know, we're so lucky to be a part of it. And we're very lucky to be joined by
Tradesperson of the Year for 2012, the inimitable Joel Hamburg. Joel Hamburg Painting, Portland, Oregon, right?
Yes, Portland, Oregon. Long ways away, 3,000 miles away, and glad to be here for such a great event and to be a part of giving back to a neighborhood. It's fun.
Well, you know, Tradesperson of the Year means that you are someone that gives back, and that's what you do in Portland. And being here and actually being a part of this project, what's it like to be in a different place, you know, and seeing all of this energy in a totally different city?
It's the same thing. No matter where you go and you see people working together, there's that same buzz, that energy, the smiles on the faces. Then you see the homeowners, and the way they're just interacting with the volunteers and the tears, and you see their pets sometimes. I was working on one project over here, working on the front door, and popped it open, and here was the homeowner lady and the little dog and some of the volunteers, and they just don't know how to react because something's being done to improve their lives and their home.
Wow.
How did you actually get started with Rebuilding Together? What was the kind of the first project?
Well, I worked actually with a bunch of other things, not uh-huh. just Rebuilding Together. In Portland, we had a local give back called Refit, very similar to this, except we were helping people that had disabilities, even young quadriplegics and others that needed things changed in their home, like ramps to get in or a bathroom, ADA bathroom. They didn't have the funds. So 100% was paid for through an application process, much like here, and they could get these improvements done, and then professional tradesmen would come in and do the work. A little bit different than here, where you have Rebuilding Together a lot of unskilled people and groups doing it. Here's skilled craftsmen doing the work. And the end product that they get is amazing.
Wow.
There. And so I was involved many years on that, as well as my own projects. I saw a need in my own neighborhood, old crumpled down theater. It was on the National Historic Rolls from 1983, and it needed some attention and work. It was ready to close down. And it had a beautiful, beautiful facade on the front, terracotta tile, dating back to 1926. In fact, the whole neighborhood of Portland was named after it, the Hollywood neighborhood, the Hollywood Theater. And I saw ferns growing out of it. The lights were broken. And it was just in disrepair. And so I just went in and met with the management at the time, and nothing was done. And so I thought, well, what's happening? Waited a year, got a phone call, new management had taken over, some bright young energy, and they were at ready to close, like I said, and they said, do whatever you want, under these guidelines of historic. But
sure.
Once I started meeting with some architects and people, they said, hey, you're a professional, and the state authorized me to do whatever I could do.
Wow.
And then I enlisted other tradespeople, electricians, carpet layers, tile setters, and others that wanted to give back as well. And we had the team effort. We never received one penny. And to date, we're about $100,000 worth of work into this beautiful gem that's restoring a neighborhood. Other businesses are coming on board, and it's just a huge success story.
Now, that's the Hollywood Theater. I heard that you actually go there to watch movies, like, almost every week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they play a lot of live events. Mm-hmm. You've probably heard of the TV show Portlandia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, with Fred, who's with Saturday Night Live, and Carrie, who they've got their little skits now into their third year. They actually did a rap party there the second year, but even prior to that, the first year, they actually did some filming there with Gus Van Sant, one of the famous directors
lives in Portland. Oh, Gus Van Sant makes awesome movies.
Yes.
How much of choosing the Hollywood Theater was a recognition that, you know, core elements of a neighborhood, if you fix that one thing, it sort of radiates out? So that's more of a business sort of observation. And how much of it was you just wanted a really cool place to go see movies?
No, not really. Not really. I've loved film since I was a little kid, but I just knew I'm a visionary. And I knew seeing that theater in its disrepair, how it could change lives of others that live there, and the businesses and the homeowners, and just the energy and life of Portland. And to get this recognition from the mayor, from the city, from the state, and now nationally through Rebuilding Together after the nomination and the voting process, et cetera, through the months, to get to the point where I'm here, it just shows if you have a passion, you see a need, you enlist others, you spread that passion, you can make a difference.
That is
so
a formula.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I think you sort of have a glow around you of just positivity, And I think that it sort of attracts positivity too. And so you're giving that all around. And you're here, you know, you're tradesperson of the year, and you won tickets to the Super Bowl and tools from Sears and WD-40 and all, you know, all kinds of awesome stuff. And your wife was telling me that you went to the media day for the Super Bowl, and she had you text to win, to be able to go out on the field and to interview players, and you won. Of everybody that was there.
I'm going to stand next to you for the rest of my life.
Yes. I think so. I think wherever you go, I think we want to be nearby because, you know, you give all of the – you give so much, and then it just sort of all circles around you in positivity. And I think that's a really good lesson for us to keep remembering is when you give, that sort of – it just sort of goes all around and everyone. It makes everyone.
Yes. I mean, it's – I guess what you're saying – is it's contagious.
Yes, it is contagious,
and
in a good way.
And we're not just saying that because we can see it around you, and we're not making that up. And that you got out on the field is just sort of kind of evidence that there may be some cool aura around you and what you're building in Portland and what you're helping to build nationally with Rebuilding Together.
Yes, and one thing I wanted to mention right here today is I've got some heavy thoughts right now. My brother, who's 51 years old, my younger brother, he's in a hospital getting immunotherapy for stage 4 cancer. He's got melanoma. And so he's getting these treatments every 5 hours, the injections on those. And he's had a rough couple years. And so stage 4, you know, of course, you don't have much hope left, but he's been so fatigued, he takes little bites of food or a little sip of a beer or something. But we think of the quality of life here that we're enjoying. We take so many things for granted. Just thinking of him this week in the hospital, getting those injections, and here I'm blessed to be with such positive energy and be at the Super Bowl. My mind and heart and prayers are with him.
Well, ours are too.
Yeah, that's affected both our lives.
Yes, my sister-in-law went through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, I completely... And it's an opportunity that we have to be able to do this and to be able to help other people and, you know, take that opportunity because this is it.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
And that really is a good thought. And before I actually embarrass myself, I'm going to change the subject.
Okay.
Because that's how much we care.
He's welling up a little bit, yeah.
So your job in Portland, your business, is you're a painter.
Yes,
but
painting contractor.
A painting contractor, exactly.
Right.
And I don't mean to minimize that. What I actually
not
mean
at
to
all
do
because
is maximize that because I could go into how much time do we have? Because I have a long-winded paint lecture.
Well, you know, you see it on the shows and everything. Oh, you can paint anything. Look at this. Look at that.
Yeah, I get angry.
And then what you paint though is absolutely spectacular. You're showing us some photos last night of the church that you were painting, and all of the things you had to go through to be able to paint that church blew my mind, absolutely. Being able to have to go on the organ and going around it and all of your tricks to be able to, the amount of detail. I'm going to have to ask you for a couple of those photos so we can put them up on our website at myfixituplife.com so we can share it with everyone.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it's not your TV show painting.
I'm confident we have to freehand ourselves into a break.
So go to joelhambergpainting.com.
If you're a contractor or a homeowner in Portland, Oregon, get this guy in your house, and we're going to have to go. We'll be back with more from New Orleans with my Fix It Up Life.
To a kid from Morgan, the way of California, all of this is more than I've ever known or seen. Come on and we'll see, like we were free. Push the pedal down, watch the moon around fly by us.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at RebuildingTogether.org.
I don't forget. I said, I don't forget. I said, I don't forget. Something like that.
And you're inside My Fix It Up Life, and we're on the ground with Rebuilding Together here in New Orleans, Super Bowl weekend. We are ready to kick it off. The ball is teed up, and I'm talking soccer style.
Soccer style?
Soccer style. Back in the olden days,
oh,
you remember
Lord.
Those, right? That's
yes.
An official time period in history.
I don't remember.
For those of us history buffs.
I'm much too young to know what you're talking
there
about.
There was the Pleistocene era, then there was the olden days.
Yes.
Then they used to kick it with their toe. They would kick it like that with their toe.
Okay.
But soccer style, which came in the NFL, I don't know when, like the 70s maybe, you kick with your laces and swing your foot around and you kick it much further, much more efficiently.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there's a job for you in New York City called the Rockettes. You might want to get involved in that.
I can do all that.
Get you in the ground floor and that.
let's go. Oh, black socks and brown shoes. Holy faux pas.
Well,
I also speak French here in New Orleans.
We have a special guest sitting with us, Mark. After you've gone through all of your, you know, kicking, whatever, your seminar and how to kick properly.
Yes, we are joined by Joan Higginbotham, who's the Lowe's Community Relations Director and also has the unique experience of having been outside the surly bonds of Earth.
Absolutely. Hi. It's so great to be with you all.
Well, I am so excited to talk to you, not just because of what you do with Lowe's and, you know, the community relations program and all the things that you guys do, $32 million a year that you do to support programs in the United States and Canada and everything. I'm blown away by that, but I'm also blown away by your former career that, you know, you're probably the only person here at Kickoff to Rebuild that has, you know, been in space.
I think I may be.
I bet you have. You are the only one.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, your experience doing that, does that give you a different kind of perspective on what community is and how we're interconnected here and, you know, all of the relationships that we're building and what you're doing with Lowe's?
It does. I had some really tremendous experiences in my life, that being one of the most tremendous experiences I had. And when I was up there, I kind of had one of my epiphany moments was looking back on the earth, and I could actually see smoke billowing up from the earth. And the first thing that crept into my mind, because we were actually over the Middle East at the time, is that there's some type of disturbance down there. Somebody is shooting somebody else. And in the space station, we had like our mini United Nations. So there are two African Americans. There was a German. There was a Russian. There was a Swede. There was a lady whose parents are from India. We had a British citizen who became an American naturalized citizen. So, you know, we just had the potpourri of colors and languages. And I look back in this tin can, I said, if the 10 of us can get along for 13 days in a tin can with all the vastness of the space on the earth, why can't we all get along? And when I came back here and had that experience, I said, you know, I've had a tremendous experience. I've gotten to do something that not a lot of people get to do. I've been very blessed. So it's something that I want to do. I need to give back now. And this is my way of giving back, and I'm doing that through Lowe's.
You know, what? I'm actually mad at you because...
but I've only been on the show like 2 minutes.
Yeah, don't worry. It usually takes about 12 seconds.
Mark has a lot of like jealousy issues, and I think this is coming from his jealousy of something.
No, it's just technical, because you pre-answered the question, one of the questions that I had, and you have degrees in electrical engineering,
right.
And you're a scientist.
I am.
And this is going to lead into another question. Don't worry. It's
I'll try not to
while.
Answer it before you ask.
Yeah, don't answer. Don't answer any of my questions. But obviously, electrical engineering, we're talking about advanced science. It's not the science that I would do, like plant some grass seed and see if it grows. Hey, I didn't water, it didn't grow. Well, you know, we'll try a control group. You've picked a very human, I guess, field to go into with Lowe's. And my question is, was it developed from that experience up on the space station? Or is there an other elements of your life that take you to this place and not others?
It's a little bit of both. So when I look back on growing up, my parents were always doing something. My mom was a teacher, and she was always tutoring somebody's kid, and my dad worked in the church, and I was in the youth group, and we went to senior citizens' homes, and we, you know, gave fruit baskets. And so when I look back on my life, I always did a little bit of this giving back. So I think it was something that was inherent in the way I was brought up. And now that I've become an adult and I've gotten to do some really tremendous things, it seems like it's only natural for me to do. I mean, to be given all the things that I've been given, it would be like a sin if I didn't give back in some manner, in some form. And so in my small way, this is my way of giving back.
Well, I you know, the things that you've been given that you've worked really hard for and are talented and have a positive energy about you, I think that, you know, they haven't exactly been given to you.
Yeah, maybe
but
given isn't the right word.
The opportunities that you had. But
yes.
Did I read somewhere that you were selected to go on another mission?
Yeah.
And you didn't go?
I didn't. And people are like, what is her problem? She's got to be on something.
I'm dying to know. Well, why didn't you go?
So, all right. So I come back from the mission. We already know this is 2007. We already know this shuttle program is going to be ending in, you know, a number of years. And I did want to come back. I came down off that space shuttle. I literally bounced off the steps. And I don't. People tell me because I don't remember doing that because I was like a little disoriented.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so I was ready. I said, give me a week's rest. I'm ready to go again. And so I had been with NASA 20 years trying to figure out, am I going to fly again? What am I going to do with when I grow up and get a real job? And so I was really trying to assess what I was going to do with my life. And at that time, I just started looking around, and the opportunity to go work for Marathon Oil came up. And about that same time, I get a flight assignment. I'm like, oh, come on. You know, so it was a really, really hard decision. And ultimately, what it came down to me was that my first flight was so incredible. I had, like, the best crew ever. We got along. We just had a fabulous mission. And I said, if I go again and it's not as good as the first, I'm going to be so bummed. And so I just decided to start my other career at this point in time and let other people fly because there were a slew of people who hadn't flown yet. And I was like, you know, if that means somebody else gets to fly, I'm good with that.
Wow. Now that's giving back.
That, yeah, I guess that is giving back.
And it's also the thing that I always tell Mark, whenever we're having a good time at a party or wherever we're out,
oh, yeah,
you always want to leave when you're having a good
time. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, I'm always, I stayed in a bitter end. I don't even like you.
But there's more fun to be had. No.
I'm going
to
get every ounce of fun out of this, even if it hurts me. But as far as, and I want to talk about Lowe's and your community service in a second, but as far as actually doing the work of being in space and being an astronaut is involved, I have to kind of ask this indirectly. I once heard world-class cyclists described as this. Everybody looks at, say, the Tour de France or whatever of the tours, and all they're doing is riding a bike. But then the commentator says, no, they're going down a hill 70 miles an hour. They have to be daredevils. They have to be marathon runners. They have to be, you know, blood and guts sprinters. They have to have all this stuff, and you need all the tactical stuff to endure a 112-mile race every day. Is being an astronaut something like that?
It is, and people say, oh, you're a hero, you're brave. I said, there's always a really fine line between brave and stupidity. And I'm not sure which side that we're on from time to time.
I'm sure which side I'm on. I just want you to know that. I'm very clear where I stand.
You're brave, dear.
But the
don't
folks
talk
who are,
bad about my husband.
He's wonderful.
No, I'm telling him to not talk bad about himself.
But the folks who are astronauts are phenomenal. Everyone is phenomenal in their own special way. They all have some type of degree of athleticism for the most part, and, you know, we just give it our all. So we're kind of multifaceted,
well,
if you will.
That's so self-effacing for someone who's been in NASA for 20 years. I thought you were 20, by the way. So
oh, yeah.
You've been in NASA since you were born.
Yeah, I was a child prodigy.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Lowe's and the work that you're doing, like all the community work that you're doing, and here with Rebuilding Together. And, you know, what do you kind of take away from being at a project like this, a kickoff to Rebuild, and seeing everybody, you know, the hundreds of people here volunteering and giving back, and, you know, you're walking around, and are you working on any houses?
I am. As a matter of fact, there's a paintbrush waiting for me when I'm done here.
Oh, nice.
I'm only half finished with my chore. You know, this to me is so fulfilling. We tend to forget that there are some folks who are in need and may not be able to do stuff. And so, you know, I really appreciate all the Lowe's associates who come out and give their time and their efforts to do stuff for folks who need it. And it was so nice. We went through one lady's house, and she says, I'm getting a new kitchen, and I'm getting a new bathroom, and let me show you the kitchen. And she had these gorgeous countertops, which I'm kind of envious of right now. But she says, I can't tell you what this means to me. She says, I'm trying not to cry right now, but this means so much. I mean, how can you not feel good about something like that? And so it's great to be a part of that. While I'm happy that Lowe's gives money to do these projects, I'm even more proud of the fact that we give some sweat equity to make these things happen.
Well, and there were people here yesterday working too. I mean, it's not just today. It's something that you guys are doing, you know, more than just on the event day.
Absolutely, and I have to get a great shout out to Elnora. She's the store manager here in Louisiana, and I understand that she has been out here rain or shine, and she's been one of the hardest working people out here. So they told her today, say, look, do not work unless there's a camera pointed at you. So, but she's been out here doing a little bit of everything. So, and they have just been phenomenal, rain or shine, and we couldn't do it without them.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, is this part of the Lowe's Heroes?
It is. We call our volunteers heroes as they go out into the community and do these, because they are. They're making a vast difference in the lives of these people. And, you know, people call me a hero, please. No, these are the heroes. These are the folks who make it happen.
I love that kind of boots on the ground, shovel in the dirt sort of perspective. I really do dig that. And the other thing is...
No pun intended.
Holy, wow. I'll be taking the rest of the show off.
Okay. Leave on a high note.
But Lowe's is also instrumental in education as well with the Lowe's Toolbox for Education.
Yes.
My jaw is literally freezing, by the way.
You're out here without a jacket. Yeah, so our core competencies and 80% of our giving is around education and home improvement. And so it just makes sense. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, understand.
Thank you for doing that. It's almost like I didn't say the dig thing.
Why Lowe's partners with Rebuilding Together. It just makes sense. You know, it's their business is part of our business. So it is just a natural partnership, and it makes sense for the both of us.
Well, it's our business to take a break,
which
is what we're going to do now. Joan Higginbotham, astronaut, Lowe's Community Director, thank you for joining us. We'll be back with more of My Fix It Up Life Super Bowl weekend right after this.
Now she's back in the atmosphere, now drops the Jupiter in her head. Acts like summer and walks like rain, remind me that there's room to change, yeah.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci Roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life, and we are at Super Bowl weekend, kickoff time, Rebuilding Together, and we are joined by the Bridgewater family, who's one of the families who are having their homes worked on by Rebuilding Together here at Kickoff to Rebuild.
And I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I was reading you guys have been married for 47 years.
Yes.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is just an amazing achievement. You don't hear about that as much as you know you'd like to these days.
Oh, yes.
And you've raised a couple of kids in this neighborhood as well.
Right. I have two sons, Michael and Keith.
And are they still here in the neighborhood now, or have they moved away and doing other things?
No, Michael is in Marrero, and my youngest son, Keith, lives in Chalmette.
So forgive us. We're actually from Philadelphia,
Not
that familiar. You know, this is actually my first time in New Orleans. I've never been here before.
Oh, okay.
And it's exciting for me to be here and to see everything. My husband's been here once before. He came down after Katrina to help a little bit. We're contractors, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's exciting to see everybody coming out today and to be working here. And from what we know from Rebuilding Together New Orleans, they have actually been in the neighborhood for a year now. And how did you guys first get in contact with Rebuilding Together?
Well, I was home alone, and I had a knock on my door. So when I'm home alone, I don't usually answer the door. But
me neither.
Me neither. I'm alone, and I want to keep it that way.
Well, the people on the other side of our door, when they're knocking, it's Mark. They're like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, they're disappointed when I answer.
Yeah.
Really? So that's the other
thing. Right.
Yeah, we wanted Teresa. Okay.
Then I looked through the window, and I saw this guy on my porch. He had, you know, the carpentry belt on and all that. And I said, well, I better check and see what he wants. So he asked me, you know, he wanted to redo my home. I was kind of skeptical about it because I didn't know anything about it, you know. So after talking to him, and I still was skeptical. So he kept coming back, So I decided I'll let him, you know, renovate my home.
Wow. So what kinds of things are they doing in your home?
Well, they're mostly doing the real, the outside, you know, the siding, the gutters, repainting, all that.
And all the trim work and everything on the outside was real nice. From what we had, what we had before it started.
And that was like peeling paint and that kind of thing on wood siding?
Right, peeling paint. The boards was all rotten and the house looked terrible. But now, I love to come down the road and look at my home. And
yes.
It looks so good. It looks like a different house.
Wow, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And so what is it, and all the other neighbors that are getting help, too, with their houses, and have you guys all been talking with each other about, you know, what you're getting done at your house, and, you know, has it been, you know, bringing you all together to talk about that?
Oh, yes, because, like, we spent a lot of time with our neighbor next door to us talking with them, you know, when we really didn't a while back, because they are really young and we are more older age.
But then again, it's really bringing the neighborhood together.
You're
everybody
right.
Is more together now since they have come and started. Before, you could see the park and everything was like fading away. It was just about, you know, disappearing. So we're so glad they came into the neighborhood to get things started again.
Mm-hmm. And was there a park here before as part of the neighborhood, or is this a new addition? Like, did your kids play out in, like, this is a field that we're in, basically, and there's a baseball field right here, but I don't know how long it's been here.
Well, we've been living here, like, 23 years. It's been here since I've been here. When I moved here, the park was here.
Yeah, we found it here, and when we first moved here, they had a lot of activity out here. The children had the football teams and everything together.
Right.
And after the storm, looked like everything just kind of disappeared. They lost their coaches. Their children stopped coming, and the park stopped going down.
And was there debris and that kind of thing all over the place?
Right. It was. The shingle was off of the building over there. Everything was just like being disintegrated, you know.
Yeah, I had grass everywhere, trees. I couldn't even see the park from my house, and my house is right there.
Really?
Right. It's so much.
Is this your house right behind us?
That's my house right behind you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And
did you get to choose the color?
Yes.
I love it.
You like the color?
I absolutely love it. Yes, it is absolutely beautiful.
Yes. We're looking at kind of a...
I don't want to be biased, but it is the most striking house in the neighborhood.
It is.
Yes,
thank
it is.
Thank you.
She does want to be biased. I just want to tell you.
No, I don't want to be biased. It is the most striking house in the neighborhood.
It's a great house. It's kind of a deep yellow with a green trim and new white gutters and downspouts.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
It looked like it just came out of a magazine.
And
right.
I've commented on your fence several times
as
I've walked back and forth here. That's really good.
I love the private fence. Yes.
Wow. Now, have your kids come back and seen what's going on and what's been happening?
Yeah, they come by. They love it. My kids are grown now.
Yeah.
They've married, you know, have their own family, but they love it.
Because they've seen the changes in the neighborhood over the years from when they were kids growing up, and now as grown-ups coming back.
Oh, really? So it's so good that we can't wait till our grandchildren come over because they're eager
right.
to get over to the playground.
Right.
Oh,
since
yeah.
they've seen how it looks, you know, they want to get here.
The Rebuilding Together project here literally brings generations together. Because
oh, yeah,
now
yeah.
now your younger grandchildren have a place to come hang out and play, meet kids in the neighborhood. Like when I used to visit my grandparents, one of my favorite things to do was I had my home friends and I had friends at my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I could come and go do stuff all over the place. That's really nice.
Right.
That is really nice. And you know, it reminds me sort of, I was reading in a magazine on our flight here, and you can go online and register where you live to then have other people in your neighborhood register where they live so you can connect with them online. And then, you know, it just makes me laugh because something like this, like Rebuilding Together, and just how people used to just go outside and say, hey, how you doing? And you don't have to go online to meet who's living next door.
Right. right.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need a satellite to
no.
meet your neighbors.
You don't have
I mean,
to.
That's
you
cool, and I get
right.
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
yeah, you shouldn't need to fill out a form to go outside.
No, you
which...
should not. We're those old-fashioned kinds of neighbors and where we live, where we know everybody and we say
right.
hello to everybody walking down the street.
Right.
Even if they might not want to say hello to us, we're saying hello to
just
them.
Just like the door.
yeah.
When I answer it, I also say hello to people,
right.
whether they like it or not.
Right.
Like I did.
Right.
This for the guy who came. I love Rebuilding Together. It's just Sarah and Tim and all them. It just was a blessing to meet them. And I met so many people from so many different states that just volunteered and came to help. You know, I just couldn't get over there. There's so many beautiful, good-hearted people in the world. People from way up in Washington State came down. And you know what? I cooked for them one day, and they enjoyed it.
Wow.
Well,
they
I'm
really going to
enjoy eating what you're going to cook for me.
Oh, Lord.
But right now,
don't
we
answer
have
the
to,
door. Don't
we
answer
have
the
to
door.
Take a break.
Yes,
don't
right.
answer your door unless it's Rebuilding Together.
right.
Get involved. Give something back. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back with more by Fix It Up Live.
Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at RebuildingTogether.org.
Says you can't go home. He says you can't go home.
I say you can't go home.
We are home. We're inside my Fix It Up Life, and that's kind of like our little home.
That is like it really is our little home.
Yes, it is.
Here at Super Bowl weekend with Kickoff to Rebuild and Rebuilding Together, and you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark. And I'm a little bit chilly.
You know, it is at least 10, if not 15 degrees colder where we're sitting than the lovely day that is about 10 feet away over there.
I see it over there.
Yeah, I can see it.
I see it.
I
but
can see it.
It is nice to be under a tent because sometimes the weather is a little bit inclement.
Yeah, sometimes it is inclement.
Our last name is Clement.
Yeah. but it's not inclement over there. It's inclement right here.
Well, I'm very glad to meet Kathleen Thompson from CBRE. And, you know, we were just talking during the break about D.C. and how much, you know, how awesome it is. I'm from that area.
D.C., we're talking for those of us who weren't in the conversation, Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia.
Yes, our nation's capital.
So they're having a personal conversation. I don't know what it's about.
So thanks for joining us, Mark, in our conversation. And thanks for being here and taking time out. You know, I know that you're probably busy here working at Kickoff to Rebuild, probably working on a project.
Thank you.
And, you know, there are other volunteers here from CBRE here, too, helping. And can you tell me a little bit about what they're working on and what they're doing?
Yes. We have normally in a city where we come to for that we sponsor the Kickoff to Rebuild, we have a large office and we have many, many volunteers. It just so happens in New Orleans we have a very small office. So normally when we go to a city, we have all of our employees. We close the office for the day, and all of our employees come out and work on the project. So we usually have about 100 employees come out and work on the project. So when we were coming to New Orleans, I said,
oh dear, what am I going to do? Because we have 3 employees in New Orleans. We have Mike Gillisbari, who is our manager of our valuations advisory group here, and he has 2 employees with him. He has John and Rob, who work with him, and they run our valuations advisory group here. And our valuations advisory group really do appraisal and that sort of group on commercial properties, and they do some consulting on commercial properties also for market analysis and feasibility studies and things like that. They opened the office about a year and a half ago down here in New Orleans, and they work with a lot of folks. They're getting ready to hire a 4th employee, as a matter of fact, big move.
That's a huge increase in the amount of employees.
Yeah. Now, when you're talking about CBRE and evaluating properties, commercial properties, you're talking about like office buildings, skyscrapers, shopping malls, that kind of commercial property, not like, say, renting out a strip mall.
Exactly. Now, they could do small things like that, but usually it's larger commercial buildings, yes, and that's what we usually do, and that was a need that we saw down here in New Orleans, and that was really something that our Houston office was handling, and then it was something that was growing so much that we said, okay, we're going to open an office, and that's the kinds of things that we do when we see an area that's growing, and it needs our services, but it needs it to the point that we don't really have, we're not really serving it well enough by having just employees coming in from another area. Then we bring employees in. John came from Philadelphia, but he actually used to live in Tulane and went to school in Tulane, so he's really coming home.
Wow.
And Mike lived in Baton Rouge and went to school at LSU. And so he's really came home. So both of them are very happy to come home, move their families home, and very happy to be here. And so they love having the office here and being back home.
CBRE, of course, is commercial real estate.
Yes.
So we're talking about, you know, use of land and buying and selling property and stuff like that. But it doesn't seem like that's – why rebuilding together? You know, small projects, small houses, it seems – Is it a coincidental connection between real estate and real estate, or is it something else that's with you that brought you to Rebuilding Together?
In about 4 years ago, we came to Rebuilding Together, and we told them that we run a foundation for our employees, a not-for-profit foundation, and we said we want to do something different with our foundation where we can provide something for our employees where they can go out and give back in the community. Not just being able to give back by giving money, but also being able to give back by volunteering. And we would like to provide them a day or days when they can go out and give back in the community by building homes or refurbishing homes or something like that. So we met with Rebuilding Together and a couple of other nonprofit groups like that, and they gave us proposals, and Rebuilding Together was one of the programs that we chose, and this has become a perfect marriage for us. We do many projects with them throughout the year. During September and October, we do huge projects with them where we go out and each office in our network all throughout the United States kind of takes on a project where all of their employees in the office can go out and they do a home or a community center or something like that, and all of their employees can go out and work on it. And then we do our kickoff to rebuild. Then when we have a conference, we also we also go into a city and we do a big project like kickoff to rebuild. We're doing a women's conference in Chicago, and we're doing a big senior center there, and we're going to be refurbishing that senior center. So it's our shelter program is what we call it. And we work with Rebuilding Together and another nonprofit there, and we do these rebuilds.
I absolutely love that, you know, giving employees and giving everyone an opportunity to give back. And you know, it's more than just money. It's the time, and it's, you know, and coming out and being inspired and having the connection and walking away and saying, you know, that they were able to help and they were able to participate. And it kind of brings back into the office sort of that positivity, I'm sure. And, you know, it kind of probably you know, team building and all of that
it's
too.
It's wonderful. Yes, it's wonderful. They get a paid day off, and they get that day to go volunteer and go do the work, and it really is a team building. Now, when we do our conferences and they're coming in from all different cities from all over the United States, then we purposely team them with people that maybe they don't know. And so then they're not only doing the project, but then they're meeting people that they've never maybe met before, and then they're able to, at the conference, they're able to meet people they've never met before and be able to then build business relationships, but they're also able to build friendships and business relationships when they're doing this work together, too, for a whole day. And we just have, we usually start the conference with the build days, and so all through the conference, they just have this feeling, they have this wonderful feeling of accomplishment, and we always end it with this great video of the work that they've done and show them the work that they've done, and they just love it. There's nothing, I always tell people when they say, well, what's it like, people who have never done it in the company before, and I say, you have to experience it. If you haven't experienced it, you can't understand the feeling that you get. But once you've experienced it, you never can walk away from it. You have to do it over and over and over again, because the people's lives that you impact, the couple who you just interviewed, that's the work that you want to do. Those are the people's lives you want to touch. Those are the things that you want to do, because you can't walk away from that work ever again. There's nothing in the world like giving to people like that and just giving back. They are so appreciative, and they never ask for it. They don't ask for anything. But when you give it to them, they just love it. And I don't know. There's just nothing in the world like being able to give back to your community.
Wow.
Your passion is absolutely palpable and enviable, and something that we're going to have, you know, think through sort of the impact that your comments have had on us, because it really kind of matters to us that you feel that way. It's just a wonderful experience.
Thank well, you. And I have to ask you, you know, you do all this work with Rebuilding Together and CBRE and all the stuff that you do. Is there a moment before that where you started, where something changed in your life, or you just have always wanted to give back and be a part of and you know, be a giving person? Is there something that, or were you raised that way? Is it just something that's been a part of your life, you know, wanting to help other people?
Well, you know, my parents always raised our family. They were always very giving people. We lived on a ranch, and we had a road that went by our ranch, and I always remember that there were a lot of hitchhikers and people who went by, and I can remember them knocking on our door, and I remember my mother always saying, well, you know, I have small children, you can't come in, but go sit outside and I'll make you a sandwich. And she would always make sandwiches for them and send them on their way. She was always very careful and protective of us. And because she was alone a lot, my father was a farmer, but I can always remember her making sandwiches and sending them on their way. And I can always, when I was in high school, I remember her coming in to the drive-in where I worked and bringing the people who worked for her in her car and feeding them and things like that. And those kinds of things, you know, weighed heavy on me as a child growing up. And I always thought, I want to be that kind of person when I grow up, but you know, I was a parent for so long, you know, and you kind of don't get to do that kind of thing. You get to give back to your kids in school and things like that, but then you go through so many passages in your life, and all of a sudden, I found myself in a position where, I mean, I could take meals into people at church and I could do things like that, and I always was able to do those sort of things, but I found myself in a position where I really could start giving back. I could start going to the shelters and doing things, and it was like, okay, I can't turn my back now. Now that I can do this, I have to do more, and I have to do more, and I have to do more. And I think once you start on that path, you can't turn back, and I think that's what my mother found out, you know, and I just think that everybody really can find that out in their life. And my daughter sometimes will complain about, oh, my life is really hard. And I say, just start giving. Once you start giving, you will find that your life is full and open and wonderful, and you will never be able to turn back, and you will never be sad again.
Wow. Kathleen Thompson from CBRE, the Foundation Director, you have moved us.
Thank you.
We are going to have to move ourselves into a break. We'll be back with more from Rebuilding Together's Kickoff to Rebuild at Super Bowl weekend in New Orleans right after this.
All the faces met, the lies we told, all the secrets kept, the bottom sold, and we forgot the little things that mattered most. We were young.
Curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with ThermaTrue fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting ThermaTrue.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at GreenStreetLux.com.
My moccasins screaming past, speakers crackle songs that never last, but the FM static means I'm getting close to finding you. Then I grab the wheel, check the map, stride my belt, course correct, hit the gas and come back home. Won't be long, that bottle goes. Change the route up as I go. Promised you I'd see this thing through. Yeah, course correct myself back home.
Then 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Robert Royal.
Yes, we have Usher coming up, ladies and gentlemen, so just be ready. Stay with us.
Oh, Lord. I might excuse myself.
You know what? I don't think I'm ready for all this. I want to give your resume. NFL veteran, played for several teams, but your personality precedes you and is going to kind of blow all that out of the water, and you're here working with Rebuilding Together. And tell me if I'm wrong, in the actual neighborhood you grew up in.
Yes, I'm actually from Algiers, Louisiana, which is right around the corner, and all this is considered Algiers. So for me, this is a little more special to just coming out here and giving a helping hand. It's something that, you know, I grew up with my grandmother in the household, very similar to a lot of these homes we're working on today. So for me, it's a little more special than just coming back and giving back.
I had no idea that you grew up right here.
Yes, right around the corner.
Now, what? Did you ever play in the fields right around
yes,
here?
Yes, played in this field a few times.
Really?
Yes.
You are kidding me.
Yes.
Now, it's a coincidence that Kickoff to Rebuild is here and you're from here. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
It just worked out that way.
It just, you know, the thing about it is, not only does Rebuilding Together do a phenomenal job what they're doing here in New Orleans, Louisiana, but across the country. You know, they've definitely been doing it. This is the 18th annual year, you know, going around in a lot of different cities, you know, underprivileged people in their homes and trying to make sure that they give them a stable home and stability where they can go out here and raise their family and do some comfortable things in life.
Now, the Robert Royal Foundation, which is your passion and
yes.
something you've developed, which really focuses more on childhood obesity and the epidemic that is really taking a real toll across the country, but yet you're here. So what – I want to get back to childhood obesity,
yep.
by the way. It's very important to Teresa and I. But what's the connection between that cause, your NFL career, and sitting here and working here at Rebuilding Together?
Well, if you look at all this, it takes everyone, all of us, rebuilding together. And the one thing we stress is with the Rob Rawl Foundation, our team camp is team. Together each achieves more. So those acronyms alone say is a lot to why I think this partnership was great, just because I think that – what they stand for and what we stand for emerges so good.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And now, getting back to childhood obesity, of all the things that you've experienced in your life and, you know, all the causes that you could have put the Robert Royal Foundation to work for. Why that one?
Well, it's one of the biggest epidemics that we face in this country today, you know, and especially coming here down to some of these southern regions, being in a place like New Orleans where obesity is one of our main concerns. We just want to continue to have the active participation with the kids through fitness, you know, sports and education. So we just came up with a program called Fit Kids where it's all free for the kids around here. We average about 300 kids. They come out. We have high blood pressure screening for the adults so they can participate and watch their kids and come out and enjoy the day also. We do everything from non-contact football, cheer, and dance camp. We also donate a lot of school supplies and books to Children's Hospital across the river. We do a lot with the juvenile bridge, hit the detention boys, going there, spending about 8 to 10 hours with them, talking to them about the importance of living a healthy and good life and just trying to make the right choices once they get out of there. So, you know, we definitely try to do as much as we can for life enrichment programs, also for the kids to let them know that, you know, it is a lot of people that come from this area and do positive things, and that even though sometimes you're surrounded by a lot of negativity, you can look up to some people around here for some great things.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, you know, you're
we're married. We're allowed to do that.
We have a lot of that kind of thing where we both want to talk at the exact same time.
Yeah, we may be thinking the same thought.
I go through it all the time.
I don't think so.
Be thinking about what they're cooking.
I think
I'm
thinking of something really exciting, and I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah,
of.
Which is, Mark, you're being boring. I'll go now.
No, I'm not being bored. No, you know, the different teams that you've played for over your NFL career, and you've actually participated and given back in those communities, too. It's not just here in New Orleans. And, you know, being able to do that, and, you know, you were giving out tickets to kids and all of those things that you've been able to do, you know, it's really inspiring that you've taken so much time, because I know that you're busy. You know, being an NFL player isn't something that, you know, you just do a couple of days a week or you can phone in or anything. And being able to spend the time and to really be involved in the community wherever you are, it's really good.
Well, the great thing about it, I have a wonderful support staff. You know, I got Bruce Allen, my executive director, my fiance, Tanika, that's over the business development portion of the foundation. So we have a lot of support also from the community that comes out and help us. But the things that I want to do with each individual team, you know, I just want to take a particular group of people, whether it was veteran, disabled, and I just want to make sure that they can come out and enjoy the game just like everyone else, you know. So I want to make sure that I can help and provide something for their families, come out, some tickets and some food during the game. So just want to make sure they can come out and enjoy themselves just like everyone else.
Now, do you hear from the kids that participate in the Team Fit kids that come out? You know, the camps that you've been doing. How many years have you been doing the camp?
We actually been doing the camp going on 7 years now.
Wow.
We first started off as just a football camp, and we started working with the Boys and Girls Club here, and they started bringing some girls. So then we turned it into a cheerleading camp, a non-contact football and cheerleading camp. And then once I met my lovely fiance, she was a fitness competitor, and she bought her aspect to it. And so we started adding a fitness boot camp for the girls. And so I think it's – and then I've been fortunate to have four NFL cheerleaders that's here from New Orleans that's been helping me and supporting. So we got everybody from Tracy to EMT that's helped us with the paramedic staff So we have a lot of different supporting staff that comes out and support us with the Rob Royal Foundation. So I just don't do it alone. So without those people, I don't think we can get some of this stuff done.
Well, I have the most important question of the day.
You do?
What you got?
Yeah. Who can do more sit-ups, you or Tanika?
I think she got me. She's doing a little CrossFit right now, so I think she's in better shape than me, but I think I'll get on a distance running.
The two of you working out together must be something else.
Do you exercise together?
Oh, yeah. We definitely. That's the only way you keep it fun, you know. We actually, that's the way we build. That's the way we bond in our relationship. She enjoys doing it, so it helps me now that I'm not playing football and around the game as much to stay in shape because I have a woman that's doing it 24/7.
Now, after having spent your life in sport, and you're a very special person, you're able to work, but you also applied your work ethic. I don't think you just showed up magic. You got to work hard to stay in the NFL. What about now? Like, what do you do to stay in shape, stay motivated, and what do you tell people who are like, well, you're in the NFL, man. You're great. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
the one thing about life is you never want to be too comfortable and get stagnant in life. So the one thing I pride myself on is just trying to become a better person each and every day. And if I feel as though I can become a better person each and every day, then everything that I set out to achieve for myself and for my family can be done. You know, I look at myself as the leader of my household. I have a wonderful daughter and a fiancé. So at the end of the day, I have to show a great example because I want the kids from here, not only my daughter, but the kids from New Orleans in different areas to be able to look up to somebody that's played in the NFL or whatever sport and realize that you can be something. You just don't have to play sports in order to achieve something in life. You can make a lot of money being successful in school and education. So that's the main thing I really want to try to, you know, reiterate to these kids and get out there and be proud of yourselves. And whatever you choose to do in life, just be the best at it. You know, don't feel as though you have to be an athlete to feel like you accomplished something, you know?
Now, is that really big shoes for her to fill, your daughter, looking up to you?
You know what? I just want her to be the best that she can be. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever path she chooses, I'm going to continue to stick by her side and help her achieve her goals. But, you know, I don't put any pressure on her. I'm her biggest fan, probably, like she was my biggest fan when I used to play football.
You know, the smile that just came across your face was priceless.
Yeah.
When she said, Darty, and, you know, I wish we could can that and sort of bring it out here to everybody. That was nice. And it led me to a question, which is, and you don't have to start the Robert Royal Foundation. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do whatever you want to do in your life. And is there a moment or an influence or a person that once things started to go in your life so you could actually do a foundation that you can look back on and say, this is why I'm doing this?
Well, it started a long time ago, a guy, Santana Dodson. He was my mentor my rookie year in the NFL, and he was doing a lot of similar things with his foundation, giving back. So I spent a lot of time with him. We both was on injury reserve together, so we spent a lot of time together. So I had a lot of time to really get to know him as a person, see what he was doing, learn from him as being a rookie in the NFL. And he taught me a lot of important things outside of football, you know. And so those things I just try to take back and teach the kids in life now, you know, time management, respectful, being honest, you know, always trying to set goals, you know, small goals and achieve those goals and goal setting. So he was definitely someone that influenced me when I first started doing this and thought about getting involved with the Robert Royal Foundation.
So do you always have a goal that you're trying to achieve every day, or, you know, that you have, like, this is what I'm going to do today?
Well, I try to at least set them, you know, at least weekly, mm-hmm. you know, at the most bi-weekly. You know, for myself personally, I probably work on myself daily, so that's a process, but I enjoy that. That's the fun part about getting up each day. If you bless the God and let you see another day, there's always room for improvement. So I don't necessarily have to set a goal for that particular day, but I'm always just trying to be a better person than I was the day before.
Oh, that's great. Are you on injured reserve now because I tackled you before you came on set?
You're a stud. You look like you've been doing you've been eating all protein, no carbs, drinking diet drinks.
I'm eating all the stuff. Potato chips are good.
a lot of cookies.
Some of the spare ribs. A chocolate chip cookie will take you a long way.
Yeah, it definitely will.
No, he has a very healthy diet.
We try to eat right, and we try to take care of ourselves. That's why, you know, once we saw the Robert Royal Foundation's core goal being childhood obesity, you know, we're really tuned in. You know, our daughter needs to eat right.
Yeah.
And so it's something that affects our life.
And it's just so it's so upsetting to me in a way, mm-hmm. because, you know, I was just reading, you know, a Facebook post by a friend of mine who was teaching in Japan, and there was an article about how healthy they
Japan,
eat
yeah.
in their schools. They eat, like, home-cooked kind of meals, and how in our country the kids sort of eat like they're in a stadium
yeah.
at lunch at school, and how different that is. And, you know, at our daughter's school they hand out candy during tests, like
yeah.
the state tests, so the kids stay motivated and stay upbeat. And we didn't have that when we were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it now, when we were growing up, obviously I don't think the healthier choices was as common as they are today. So I think today with the generations we have now, a lot of kids are being more open to trying different things because the food tastes good. You know, not only, you know, it's healthier for you, but it still tastes good. You know, but back then when we were growing up, I don't think the health issue was as prominent as it is today. So I think with the continuation of us continuing to go on out there, training them the right way, you know, teaching our kids, I think we can continue to help the generation, and then they'll do the same thing for the years to come.
Yeah, it's all about getting outside, I think. That's such an important
yeah.
thing. Once you get moving, you don't really want to eat as many, you know,
yeah.
chips and all that other stuff because you're busy doing stuff.
And that's the thing with the foundation. We wanted to have them active, participate, you know, get out there and do at least 60 minutes of activity. You know, and the great thing about it is I think Tanika did a phenomenal job with the fitness portion of it because it's all stuff that kids like to do anyway. You know, we jump rope, hula hoop. You know, they have the quick foot ladder for the girls, all the stuff that you see boys doing in the combine. So it's pretty fun. You know, we play tag games with them. So all the different things that kids do anyway, we just have them outside being active and participating.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to check out the Robert Royal Foundation and his work with Rebuilding Together at robertroyal.fndn. Check him out on Facebook at Robert Royal Foundation. Robert Royal Foundation. Check us out after the break. We'll be right back with more of my Fix It Up Live.
Baby, tonight, DJ got us falling in love again. Baby, tonight, DJ got us falling in love again.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
It's time to bring beauty back in your next project by Seeing Red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar is a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar is a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org.
Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at rebuildingtogether.org.
I've been trying to do right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. I've been sleeping in my bed. What's that? So show me family, all the blood that I will bleed. I don't know where I belong, I don't know if I went wrong, but I can write a song. Cause I belong with you, you belong with me in my sweet heart. Cause I belong with you, you belong with me in my sweet heart. I don't think you're right for him. Think of what we might have been if you took a bus to Chinatown. We were standing on canal and Bowery. You were standing next to me. Cause I belong with you, you belong with me in my sweet heart. Cause I belong with you, you belong with me, you're my sweetheart.
And you're back inside my Fix It Up Live with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we are on the ground here with Rebuilding Together, the 18th kickoff to rebuild at Super Bowl weekend here in the Crescent City, the Big Easy.
You know, this is my first time here in New Orleans.
This is my second time here, and I don't know why it's called the Crescent City or the Big Easy.
Shall I explain?
You shall explain.
Our guest.
Our guest Councilwoman Kristen.
How are
y'all? Who's here to join us. And you are covered with paint, by the way.
This is actually old paint.
You didn't just get that today.
I can tell right now. No, these are my old work clothes. I was actually working on a fence earlier. So no painting today, but fence building this morning. So that was good.
Well, you have the mark of a woman who actually does a lot of work. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Used to.
Used to, now you just take naps and stuff.
No, I used to be the director of Rebuilding Together in New Orleans. And so I just ran for office about almost three years ago, and won. And so now I sit on the New Orleans City Council. But before then, I was the director of this amazingly wonderful program.
Now, you were the first director of this program here in New Orleans.
Well, actually, the program in New Orleans has been around for, gosh, I want to say about probably over 20 years, going on 30 years. And so I actually first got involved when I was in my 20s with the program as a volunteer. Yeah.
Wow.
And then when I was 25, 26, I became director. And at the time, the national program was called Christmas in April. And in New Orleans, it was called Christmas in October. And we marshaled, you know, thousands of volunteers from around the city. And we would rebuild houses, you know, for our low-income elderly homeowners. And the intent was always to really keep people to have the ability to age in place and to really live and thrive in the communities in which they were born and they were raised. And so it was wonderfully, it was a wonderful program. And then I left for a while and, you know, had children. And I came back after the storm. And so you can imagine, I think the need of this type of program was just huge. And nobody really knew, I think, to the degree of how powerful volunteers were, I think, around the country and the city until that moment. And I think it really was wonderful to watch this program morph into something so much larger, and having so many people realize around the country the need of volunteers and how much they can make a difference. And that's really what we saw, I think, in New Orleans. And, you know, they keep coming. You know, and then this one is just right for, you know, for this particular event, but, you know, last week, I actually had this old house captain from D.C. came down, and they've been coming down twice a year since the storm. And I went and had drinks with him, and he was still as enthusiastic about rebuilding houses as he was 5 years ago. And I think that, again, speaks to the strength of our volunteers.
Well, I can't even imagine the number of people that you have met and the number of houses that you've been in and the number of projects. And every time you come out to a project like this, all of the new volunteers and all the new people that you meet.
And you keep meeting more and more friends.
and more to do.
And there's always something to do. And that's the amazing thing.
Wow.
Old friends, new friends, and everybody's passion and heart's in the same place.
So when you got started in your 20s volunteering, mm-hmm. what kind of motivated you to get involved?
Well, again, I think the city is such a great motivator. I think, you know, just the love of the city and the people and the strength of the people. I think the mission, when we talk about when you talk about what we do, is so important to a city and to the health of a city. And when we talk about our elderly homeowners, these are homeowners that have already helped build the city. They've already paid their dues, and it's something that it's an opportunity to give back. And so it's really been quite an honor. I mean, I've sat at thousands of kitchen tables around the city. And it's great to hear the stories about, you know, how it was back here and there.
Thousands of kitchen tables.
Thousands.
Wow.
Because I know we hit over 1,000 when I was director right after this, you know. Yeah, so we've done about over 1,000.
So
and then Rebuilding Together National, you know, did rebuild 1,000 after the storm for the entire Gulf Coast. And they accomplished that. And I'm not sure people really appreciate around the country that Rebuilding Together is what they've done after Katrina, even before. When I left the program and now do what I do, we were the largest rebuilding organization in the city and doing touching the most people, doing the most work, and really servicing a population that needed to be brought back. Because, you know, one of the things that we saw right after the storm, quite frankly, was a lot of people, including myself, were very concerned we were going to lose a lot of our identity. When you have such a vast population leave and not come back is a fear, and especially our cultural identity, which is so important to New Orleans. When you talk about the Viggies, when you talk about the Crescent City, when you talk about, you know, jazz and our food, you know, we have the only indigenous cultures that were created in this country. You know, jazz is the only indigenous art form that is purely American and purely from this place. And we were very concerned that we were going to lose much of that. And I think the fact that this program could bring back people was huge.
Wow. That is just tremendous. I still can't get over the fact that you've been in 1,000 different kitchens, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about since my 20s. Yes.
That's just That's absolutely amazing.
It's been about 20 years.
I'm going to have to get busy knocking on doors.
Yes,
you
are.
I've been nearly at 1,000 kitchen tables,
well,
but I will achieve that goal.
And the process, too, you know, that you go in and you help homeowners, and you have to go through the neighborhood, and you have to talk to everyone about what they need and sit down and go through all of that with every single person, because everyone's story is different. Everyone's home is different.
That's right, and it's so good that you bring that up, because that gets lost on a lot of people. And the great thing about this neighborhood that we're in Algiers and Tunisburg is that's how it happens. It's like it's a partnership with the neighborhood associations and organizations, and they're the ones that really go out and identify, because they know their neighbors, they know where the need is, and they really help, and they help with the interview process. And also you can't forget, this is somebody's home. You know, we're not sitting here building a new house and putting people in there. We're dealing with people that live in these homes that have an identity, just like you said. And everything is very personal, right? And most of them have been in their homes for 30, 40 years. Y'all appreciate this story, being in construction. But I remember a house we did about 20 years ago, and the volunteers like wanted to change out this door, their front door. And they put in this beautiful, beautiful door. And they showed the homeowner. It was a 90-year-old man. And he's like, oh, no, I can't have this door. And he got really flustered. And they're like, why? And, well, they installed a left-hung door instead of a right-hung door.
Oh.
And so this man's been opening the front door for 50 years the same way. And it was too much. Yes, we rehung it. But, you know, it's just little things like that.
Wow.
And it really shows that identity that you have to your place, which is so important. And that's also, you know, why the city came back so strong, is we all have a very – you know, fierce attachment to our neighborhoods and to our cities, and I think this program is reflective of that.
Now, do you see with something like this, you know, there are 10 houses being worked on in this neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and I imagine that Rebuilding Together went to most of the houses in the neighborhood, and, you know, talking with the homeowners, and probably some people weren't sure if they wanted to have any help, but do you see something like this where then the neighbors start coming out and say, hey, Rebuilding Together, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
We have some stuff that are going on in our house. And
absolutely.
If they get people to, you know, kind of trust in the whole spirit of the whole thing, and to, you know, open their door and want to engage and then come out and volunteer and help and everything.
Absolutely, and that's what it has. And you'll see more neighbors coming out and talking with each other. You'll see more volunteers. You'll see more people being helped. Look, this is just the start, right, in this community.
Wow.
This is just the start of us taking a break. We'll be back with more from Rebuilding Together's 18th kickoff to rebuild in New Orleans right after this.
To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. Everything you own in the box, to the left, in the closet. That's my stuff now. If I bought it, baby, please don't touch. Keep talking that mess, that's fine. Would you walk and talk at the same time? And it's my name that's on that jack. Now remove your bag, let me call you a cab. Standing in the front yard, telling me how I'm such a fool. Talking about I'll never ever find a girl like you.
Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Pilot yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clemens. 2 years after his father's death, Brendan is staring down the barrel of a divorce. He leaves his daughters in collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise his father made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping him with his own life.
I reach for my tape more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter rather than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a very rich and unique story. Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that great wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.
Got paint prep? Do it the hard way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
Come tomorrow, come what will.
My Fix It Up Life with my wife Teresa
and my husband Mark.
And
so good to spend this time with you. We're outside, we're hanging out in New Orleans, and we have hundreds of people around helping to rebuild this neighborhood.
And we have a playground being erected in this neighborhood, which is an anchor point to all the generations that live here, just the kids.
I'm kind of excited about, you know, the opportunity that maybe I might have a chance to play on the playground when after it opens, after the kids get to, you know, enjoy it.
You want to go in there before the kids?
Oh, I want to get on it, yeah. There's a really cool slide over there. It's
pretty
awesome.
There's multiple slides, but I think instead of us describing it,
okay,
we should let the person who's behind it describe it, Carter Oosterhouse, HGTV, and Carter's Kids, whose Carter's Kids organization has made this come together. Carter, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Always good to see you, too.
Oh, it's a delight to see you. And I love that you bring all this gorgeous color, and it's just such a beautiful piece in the neighborhood that, you know, there's 10 homeowners, you know, that are getting their houses worked on in this kickoff to rebuild. But everybody in the neighborhood can play on the playground.
Yeah, you know, what we do, the cool thing about the playground is that with rebuilding together, modifying, rebuilding these homes, the fact that we have a central organized spot, a communal spot with this playground, it gels really, really well. You know, I mean, when the individual homes that we work on with rebuilding together and then this space, it really shows, you know what, we were here. All of us, collectively, we were here. We worked on these projects around these homes, but we also did a playground. And that's a fantastic representation of all of these people here saying, you know, we put a little mark on the area.
You definitely did. And it is a really bright spot, too. And, you know, it's a good...
You like the colors, don't you?
I do.
You can say that.
It's like the house behind us. It's yellow. I love it. It just makes me smile.
This is, they're New Orleans colors. And I don't even know if that we've ever made, we've done a playground with these colors before. And so it looks fitting. You know, my wife is not here, unfortunately, and I sent her a picture, and she was very excited because of the colors as well. So far, you know, we're winning in that department. But look, at the end of the day, you know, we build these playgrounds to really curb childhood obesity, and that's the ever-important point that we're trying to make. But what we also see is not only the childhood obesity, but we see the psychological development on children, the cognitive development with children, that playgrounds, how they help. And they relieve stress from children, and of course, like we just talked about, the communal aspect of it for neighborhoods. So we're seeing all these important reasons why we should be putting playgrounds around, you know, not only neighborhoods like this, but all over the U.S.
When you've been working with Rebuilding Together for, what, about 4 or 5 years?
So, well, technically, Carter's Kids has been with Rebuilding Together for about 3.
Okay.
And then I've been with Rebuilding Together personally with HGTV for about 5 years.
Okay.
And, you know, that was just, you know, I've been down here for 50 for 5 here in New Orleans with Rebuilding Together and a handful of other times that we've worked on projects together, yeah.
So how many playgrounds have you guys done together, like 15 or so, all around the country in so many different cities?
You might
know
that better than I do, tell you the truth.
I have a list.
Yes, you're pretty good with numbers. So
Seattle, Philadelphia, Michigan, Miami, Indianapolis, Traverse City, which is where you're
hometown,
from.
Yep.
Tampa, Denver, Los Angeles, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Arlington, Texas, Dallas, New Orleans, Miami, and again here in New Orleans.
Yeah, we've done a couple here in New Orleans. So we've done a lot with Rebuilding Together. This is our third Super Bowl we've been with them. And each of them, you know, look, it's a gorgeous day. It's a gorgeous day to be here and be a part of it. The energy here is just fantastic. And that's something you cannot suppress. And when those kids get out there on that playground, that's a whole new, you know, set of eyes that are just so excited. And, you know, it really brings back that youthfulness that everybody, you know, goes back to when they were kids, playing, being a kid and just playing. And that's the real goal here, is to make a space where the kids can just be kids and hang out and have fun. They don't care about us. They just want to have something attractive and beautiful to play on. And when we do something like that, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
Now, thinking about neighbors, I read somewhere that you had a neighbor that was a carpenter who, you know, you sort of worked with and learned a little bit from growing up.
Yep.
Now, is that something that you're sort of, you know, that was sort of a moment in your life about, you know, neighbors getting together and working with each other and helping each other, that you sort of, you know, working with your brothers too?
Yeah,
are there projects that you guys did as kids and out in the neighborhood with other kids?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you grow up and you're just around the construction site, it's sort of something that you fall into and you think, okay, this is normal. You know, this is normal. We should all be working together. And granted, I did not have fun what I was doing because I was just, you know, picking up trash and whatnot around a job site. But it really, you know, was instrumental in sort of laying that foundation of communal, of working together to get the job done at the end of the day.
Sort of an aspect of teamwork as everything coming together in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if one person is slacking off or one person needs help,
yeah,
it's about the job, it's about the project, it's not about the individual.
Sure.
Well,
and
I'm
the
just
playground
thinking about
sort of drives that bus here. And one of the things that I'm noticing too, and I like the colors too. I think it's a good call.
I appreciate that.
And I sign off on that. What color is it again? And but you're also doing some work out around, beyond the actual, you know, monkey bars and slides and things. And I see pine needles.
Mm-hmm.
I see plantings and so forth.
Yeah.
That's really making the entire space more of an anchor for the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, the playground does wonders, the colors, but we really want to beautify the neighborhood. And we've talked to some homeowners here already, and they're just like, you know, when we looked over that in some of these parts, and some of them couldn't even see, first off, and we've cleared off a lot of brush on some of the homes, but also in some of these areas, there's just so much brush-filled areas that they're great spaces for kids to just run around and be kids. And, you know, it just takes a lot of hands to make light work and just clean the spaces up and really beautify them and make them, you know, kids are, and I've said this before, kids are 400% more likely to be physically active if they have something attractive to play on and be around. So when you hear that number, that just is overwhelming.
Those
and
are good odds.
That
is
absolutely amazing.
Those are good odds. Now, when you, I'm being told that there's a question.
No, I have a question. Now, you know, you do this work, you know, Carter's Kids and with Rebuilding Together, and I heard that you just did a project with the doctors.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And when is that going to air?
So the show on the doctors we did in Los Angeles, we built a playground there, and the doctors came and they filmed the whole project. And the whole idea was it's going to air in 2 weeks from now. And so the whole idea, because I went in into studio and shot up on stage and stuff. But so they it's 2 weeks. And the whole idea, you know, was talking about, again, childhood obesity and the same thing that we, you know, preach about on a daily basis. And it was really fun because just getting awareness out there. I mean, everybody knows they want to have something like this, but it's just getting, you know, people to talk about it.
Well, I just think about, you know, sort of what you do for your life. You know, you are out here and you travel around the country building playgrounds and, you know, in neighborhoods with Rebuilding Together. And then you're off shooting Million Dollar Rooms with HGTV.
Yeah.
And they're sort of opposite worlds.
Completely opposite.
So when you're going in these Million Dollar Rooms and you're filming for HGTV, in the back of your mind are you thinking, yeah, I could build how many playgrounds with, you know, that, like, fork you have over there?
Very, very much so.
You bought that tub. I could do, like, 25 playgrounds around the country with that tub.
Once I start asking, then they say, you know, then they want to fire me because, you know, those are the wrong questions to be asking. But, no, I mean, the reality is they're two, you know, not really parallel worlds, and they're completely opposite. But, you know, that's TV. That's, you know, the randomness of TV of what it is, and We shot that show without even a host in the beginning, and now I host it just because it's done really well. And I think it's the sense of voyeurism. A lot of people want to, maybe aspirational, People look up to it and say, wow, that's pretty impressive. I want that, or that's really ugly. The one thing we realize is that money does not buy style. That's the one thing. So, but it's a fun show to shoot. It really
now,
is.
It kind of brings to mind that old show, you know, Robin Leach, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh, yes.
Does anyone ever compare that your show to that show? Really?
Without a doubt. And that show was great. Everybody loved watching that show.
It was addictive.
Yeah, it was addictive, and just seeing how sort of the other half lived. And now we're getting that opportunity to do that. And me as a builder, I love going into some of these homes and seeing the architecture and seeing how they did things. You know, when you have an endless supply of cash, you can really do that. You know, it's over the top, and I get all that. It really is. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to just, you know, turn it on and just, you know, it's like a no-brainer. You just watch it.
How do you find people, I guess, willing to say, yeah, come on in, show my living room, show my bathroom?
So some people want to show it off. You know, some people really do. They want to show it off, and they contact us. And we have a whole team of people that go out there and look for these homes. But they really, they want to show off their homes and some of the cool or interesting or what they think is cool ideas within their home, which they're not always cool. So
question. Are you like, dude, come on, man.
That's
so boring.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is. You know, sometimes, like we said, you know, money does not buy style or taste at all. And that's the reality of what it is. But, you know, some people just kind of add, it's that layer effect. You know, they don't like it, they do it again. They don't like it, they do it again. And that we see that a lot. But, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, it's sort of, it is the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and we'll show it off. You know, we will
awesome.
Do that, yeah.
Now, your wife is in here, Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
And she comes with you to a lot of the Carter's Kids builds.
Yeah.
And she sort of you're sending her pictures of what your guys are doing?
Yeah, so my wife, who is Amy Smart, and she just did 4 movies up until Christmas, and now it's, you know, pilot season time, so she's working back home. You know, somebody's got to make the money, you know. Somebody's got to keep the lights on at home. So I'm able to do this, and she's at home. But, yeah, she usually is at all the builds, but unfortunately this one she had to work, and she couldn't be here. So she sends her regards, but she's seen a lot of pictures. So.
Okay. And we'll definitely look for her movie.
She signs off on the colors.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean.
Good to know.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take that down, and let's get the color scheme just right.
Well, yeah, and then you're not with your wife. So, you know, my poor husband, you know, in the hotel room and everything like that, he's with me. Sometimes he thinks he wants to have his own hotel room. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So it must be nice.
No, what is funny is because she is at home, and I can't believe I'm telling that story, but I just put a gate in. I just realized I hit a water line, and she's like, Carter, where you put the gate in, there's a lot of water leaking out of there. So,
oh, out of the ground.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
So I got that call at, you know, sometime last night and realized, oh, boy, that's not good. That's not good. So, unfortunately,
so
it is
Carter's
good. She is
gate
home.
Building video will be
not
up at
very
my
good.
Fix it up live.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. So, not very good. Not a great thing.
Well, that's good, Carter. I'm glad to see that you've sharpened your shovels up at home.
Very
you
handy skills.
Yeah,
yeah,
right? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, exactly. And it's never happened to say me or a sprinkler line or edging a garden.
See, I want everybody to know at home this happens to everybody. All right, this kind of stuff happens to all
as
of
much
us.
As you plan, prepare, and as much as you know, there's always something that happens.
There's always something, and it's about what you do about it that counts. So please check out Carter's Kids. Visit Carter at Twitter at @C_Oosterhaus. That's
follows. Follow Carter Kids on Twitter, Carter's Kids 1.
Yes, 1.
Yes.
Yep.
And we'll be back in 1 minute or so with more My Fix It Up Life.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked through the door tonight. Into my fixed up life.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? Da Vinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic Da Vinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, Da Vinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen Da Vinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
This is my fix it up life.
And you're back inside my Fix-It-Up life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we're going through the uprights. We're digging in. We're suiting up and booting up. It's football talk.
Now, can I pick my suit, or are you going to pick it for me this time?
Well, when we're talking about the world of sport, contact sport,
yeah.
I'm in charge of that.
Yeah, I'm not a contact sport girl. That's why I rode crew in college. I wasn't really into that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, it's very exciting with football and Super Bowl upon us, and we are joined by someone who is closer to the game, maybe than even some players, Leanne Tuohy, who is the mother of Super Bowl offensive lineman Michael Orr, and long resume.
Yes.
Designer on Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Leanne, are you still with us?
Yes. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic, and we are really excited to talk to you. We want to talk about your foundation and your book and everything. And, you know, I was just reading a quote by you recently that said, how many kids are out there that if given a chance can be a Michael Orr? And that is just so absolutely inspiring. And I want to ask you, you know, you were there the day that he was drafted in 2009 to the Baltimore Ravens, and then you were there the day that he won the Super Bowl. And I can't even imagine how you and your husband must feel.
Oh, it was pretty surreal. You think that you prepare yourself for those type of things, and you see them on TV, and you say, what would I do, or how would I react? And the truth of the matter is, you just go crazy. You're just out there like some idiot running around. I mean, it was, the family got to go on the field, and it was just crazy. I mean, it was just fun, and to see one of your kids achieve a dream, it's just something that not a lot of people get to experience, and now I wish it for everyone. And, you know, your kid doesn't have to win the Super Bowl. If they can, I mean, trust me, it's fun. But, you know, help your kid write the best paper they can, or teach your kid to be the best driver they can become, or, you know, there's so many other options that you have. But, what I learned through this is that hard work really does pay off, because this young man has been dedicated and determined and disciplined, and every bit of that paid off.
Well, the hard work that he's put into it, and the hard work that, you know, your whole family has put into everything that you do is just, it's such an inspiration, and it is something that we can all learn a little bit from, which is why I'm glad that you have the Making It Happen Foundation and the Making It Happen book that just came out this past summer.
Yes, it's a little e-book. It's just kind of, it talks about giving, and it talks about making a difference. You know, so many people think that to make a difference it's a big daunting task, and, you know, they've got to come up with this, you know, astronomical check, or they have to do this grandioso, you know, act. And really that's not the case. I mean, if you can do that, it's wonderful, and you know if you can, and then you absolutely should. But small things make a difference, and that's a lot what my little e-book, Making It Happen, talks about. You know, it talks about that, you know, start with the little things. And, you know, let somebody, you know, get in line in front of you. You know, open the door for people. Say please. Say thank you. Start with a smile. Those kind of things have an impact in a much greater way than we ever anticipate. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was in McDonald's, and there was a long line, and my husband's probably going to kill me for saying that since we're in the Taco Bell business, but I was just bopping in there to get a Diet Coke, and McDonald's has Pepsi, and I'm a Diet Coke person. So now that I've clarified that little bit of housekeeping, but it was a pretty long line. I could tell this gentleman came in the door, and he was very, you know, flustered. So he was kind of in a hurry and looked around the line, and I said, sir, would you like to get in front of me? I said, because I was like the next person. And he kind of looked at me and goes, well, why are you going to let me in front of you? And I said, well, you just seem like you're in a hurry, and I certainly have the time. And please, you know, come on. And so he ordered what he wanted, and he got it, and he turned around. And he goes, I really appreciate that. I really do. He said, I mean, no one's ever let me get in line in front of them before. He said, I mean, thank you very much. And that was so simple. That's not textbook. I don't have to have a college degree to figure that out. That was easy, and it really, you could tell that it had an impact on this gentleman. So, you know, that's what Making It Happen talks about. That's what our book talks about. That's what our foundation is a lot about. Our foundation is about filling the gaps. I mean, we're not a huge, you know, aged foundation. We haven't been around, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. You know, we're figuring all this out. We know we can't be all things to all people, But we are trying to be the last line of defense. We're trying to fill the gaps. We're trying to do the little things that will make a difference and allow someone else to turn around and then do something for someone else.
Well, you know, with first of all, with all this inspiration talk, I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, no.
While reading about Making It Happen and just the way you are, I was, and I have to confess, I was kind of moved to tears several times. And I was looking at your website, leantui.com. I guess that's inspiration, but I was literally moved by the, by so many of these things that you talk about. And one of the questions that kept coming back to me was, for Leanne Tui, is there a moment or a person that inspires you to be this way, or how is this your mission in life?
Well, that's kind of what our first book, In a Heartbeat, that was our, we had a New York Times bestseller called In a Heartbeat, and a lot that talks about, you know, how Sean and I got to be who we are and our kind of the backstory, because, you know, which we didn't think was interesting at all, but obviously there were people that thought that was interesting. But, you know, I think a lot of it would contribute to our parents. I mean, my father, both of our parents, for, you know, lack of terminology, served the people. I mean, Sean's father was a coach and a teacher, and my father was military and a police officer and then a U.S. Marshal. And, you know, I think that it just, you know, we emulated them. I mean, we saw that they, it was very important to them for us to realize that everyone was created equal and that all people had value. And if you live by that one principle right there, that all people are created equal, that'll change your life. Because, you know, we all put our pants on the exact same way, one leg at a time. You know, your twist may be a little bit different than mine. And but there's so many people that think they're entitled or they're better, or they look down upon others because they don't, you know, wear the right shoes or drive the right car or have the right shirt. And, you know, you're where you are. There's a small difference in longitude and latitude in the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, be appreciative for where you are, grateful for what you have, and realize that just because you have it doesn't make you better. You have it because you should share it with others. And we learn those principles from our parents, really.
You know, that continues to inspire me and continues to want me to let someone in front of me in line in the store. And, you know, people who know me might consider me slightly cynical. Slightly. And
he isn't moved to tears very often. I could probably count the number of times it's actually happened, and we've been together for almost 10 years.
It sounds like you can actually teach yourself to be more positive.
Oh, I think you can teach yourself. You know, we are our own worst enemies sometimes. I mean, you know, we're the human being is capable of doing a lot of things, and we're very coachable, we're very teachable. You know, I tell her all the time, you know, look in the mirror, and if you don't like what you see, there's only one person to blame, and that's you. You know, don't blame your mother, don't blame your dad, don't blame your boss, don't blame your teacher. If you don't like what you see, look at yourself. It's up to you and the good Lord to get in there and make a difference and make a change. And we think that this journey that we've been on is 100% God-driven. We don't take any of the credit. It's not we go into our driveway and the garage door goes up and there's a huge sign that says we believe in miracles, because this message continues to keep on. We continue to get a platform through one event or another. It doesn't die down. And we just feel like that it's a message that God has, you know, given us to be good stewards of, and we certainly are trying to do that. But you yourself are the one that's responsible for your actions. And, you know, you got to pull yourself up from your bootstraps. And if you don't like, you know, what's going on in your life, you're the only one that can make a difference and make a change.
Now, I have to say how grateful I am, because for someone who, there was a $300 million box office hit, The Blind Side, made about things that happened in your life, and you have a New York Times bestseller, that you have the ability to go out there and spread this message more than, you know, there's other people that kind of agree with you that are listening and, you know, have that kind of message and let people in front of them in the store and go ahead and do good things, little things throughout the day, but that you're able to make such a huge impact with the message that you're being able to spread, and what a difference I hope that it's making for people that are listening.
Well,
so you know,
I appreciate that. Thank you for saying that. And, you know, I don't have a lot of tolerance and patience for stupid people. There's a lot of stupid people that say stupid things and do stupid things, and you know, I'm probably getting in trouble one day for calling them out, but, you know, the good guys have got to stand up and have a voice, and we have to be loud and proud, and, you know, we cannot continue to let the idiots of the world have the voice, and we have to start, you know, we have to stand up for the little guy. We have to stop bullying. You know, there are things that we can do, but, you know, we've got to man up and do them, and you know, Sean tells me, you know, you're gonna get me killed. You know, bless his heart, I might. One day that just might happen. But right now, you know, we just feel like that we have a responsibility to do the right thing and to make it happen. And we challenge everyone to, you know, like I said, to have a voice and take a stand and to do the right thing. And don't just sit there and say, oh, I can't make a difference. I'm just one little person in this world. I can't make a difference. You know, I tell people all the time, we were Michael Oher's whole world. So, you know, stand up. You're one person is powerful. One person is mighty, and you can make a difference.
Well, if that doesn't sound like the words of someone raised by someone who made his living behind a badge, I don't know what is. And that is an inspiring essay, and your mention of Michael brings me back to the Making It Happen Foundation and TUI Trivia Tuesday, which is a great way to get involved.
Yeah, we play every Tuesday night at 9:30 Central Standard Time. We play TUI Trivia on Twitter. And I'm at Leanne TUI, and we ask a trivia question. And, you know, sometimes I try to make them tricky and hard. Sometimes they're pretty easy. And it's a way that we, whoever the winner is, we donate, the Making It Happen Foundation donates $25 to the charity of their choice. And it's great. I am the dictator. I can't overrule who your charity is. But I've only had to do it one time, and it was like something for Hitler or something. And, the person got, you know, kind of upset with me, and I said, let me explain this to you. This is the Army, and I'm the general. If you don't like it, that's too bad.
Oh.
I'm not giving $25 to that group. But that's only, and we've played it for a good while now, but most of the time, 99.999% of the time, they're great, worthy causes, and if I haven't heard of them, we look into them, and we've discovered some amazing organizations that do wonderful things, and it's good. I mean, it's a great little way for you to get involved and get $25 for the charity that you're passionate about, because, you know, I tell people all the time, we can't all be passionate about the same things. That's kind of what makes the world go round. If we were all passionate about, you know, the American Heart Association, well, then no one else would get anything done. Or if we were all, you know, passionate about, you know, the cancer. I mean, it's everyone is passionate about different things. And TUI Trivia allows you to get $25 for, you know, the charity that you're passionate about on Tuesday nights at 9:30 Central Time.
Well, stand up, give back. Check out Leanne TUI at leannetui.com. Follow her on Twitter at Leanne TUI and check out her Facebook page. Check us out after the break. We'll be back with more of my Fix It Up Life.
Might be the holder of my front door key, and I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad that you became my wife. This is our Fix It Up Life. Just a simple loan would do. What do I say to you when I can see all I want with you? You might be grandkids running at my feet. You might be the best friend aging gracefully. You might be a lifelong love filled guarantee. And I'm so glad that we sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked through the door tonight into my Fix It Up Life.
Fix It Up Live.
Rebuilding
Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at RebuildingTogether.org.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with ThermaTru fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting ThermaTru.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life, and you're at the end of our show.
So go to myfixituplife.com and check out more cool interviews and how-to advice.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out our videos on YouTube.
And what we're pinning on Pinterest.
And also visit myfixituplife.com and see what we've got up for grabs. Just click on free stuff.
And join us next week for more My Fix It Up Life.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked through the door tonight into my fix-it-up life.